World Mythology is supported by Yen.io, the world's first cryptocurrency social exchange. Sign up for Yen.io today. That's Yen.io. This week on World Mythology, we're going to tell some stories from Korean mythology. Today, we're going to tell the Korean Cinderella and the Deer and the Woodcutter, both stories from Korean mythology. There are many versions, as it is with folklore, but hopefully this is entertaining enough. We're going to see why you should definitely save a talking deer, because it could be a god in disguise, and why you should always do it, as a goblin slash frog says, because it might get you into trouble with your stepmother, even though the result later will be good. Welcome back to World Mythology. Today, two stories from Korean mythology. The first we're going to say is the Korean Cinderella. A couple were expecting a baby. "Any day now," the husband said to his wife, trying to be cheerful. Suddenly, the wife fell over. "Oh, the pain, the agony," she wept, clutching her stomach. Soon, a beautiful baby was born. They named her Pear Blossom, because as soon as the husband saw his daughter, he declared that he would plant a pear tree in the courtyard to celebrate. Life was good from that day on. When it was spring, the wife dressed her daughter's beautiful black hair with a white ribbon to match the beautiful pear tree's blossoms. In summer, the mother wrapped a band of rose gold ribbon in Pear Blossom's hair. When it was autumn and the golden orange leaves blew around in the courtyard, the mother dressed her daughter in a yellow gown. But in winter, the mother died. The branches on the pear tree were bare, and so, with a deep sadness, the two remaining family members wept. The old husband was very sad, but he needed someone to take care of Pear Blossom while he was away. So he went to the village matchmaker and asked where he could get someone to take care of Pear Blossom. "I know just the woman," the matchmaker declared. "Who?" the old man asked. "A widow who just lost her husband and has a daughter on the age of Pear Blossom's age. In fact, this is a great combo, a mother for Pear Blossom, a wife for you, and a sibling for your daughter." The old man agreed that this was, in fact, a great deal, and he would accept the offer. So he made the widow his wife, and even though Pear Blossom called her Amma, Mom, the old widow was far from a nice old lady who just happened to be marrying Pear Blossom's father. As for the old widow's daughter, Peony, well, Peony was no sister at all. So the old man came up the hill and into his house. "Pear Blossom," he called out. "Yes, Appa, Dad? Come meet your new Amma and Nuna, sister." Pear Blossom met the trio in the courtyard. "Annyeonghaseyo," or hi. "Annyeonghaseyo," the widow and her daughter replied. "May I take you inside?" Pear Blossom asked politely. The Amma nodded and was led into the kitchen. But as soon as she entered the room, there was trouble. "It is too cold. Get wood for the fire, Pear Blossom," the widow said quite rudely. Pear Blossom gathered sticks and fed them to the oven until the kettle top was dancing. "It's too hot now, child. The food is being overcooked. Get water, Pear Blossom." Pear Blossom, again, hurried off to do her Amma's bidding. After that, the widow and her daughter, Peony, didn't hesitate to make fun of Pear Blossom. They were both very jealous of Pear Blossom, so they ordered her around like a servant. Every morning, the poor girl was up before high sun and worked until midnight, cooking, cleaning, and with only the crickets for friends. As the years wore on, the old man, who just wasn't a great father, became feeble and older still, so he didn't really pay attention to Pear Blossom and her troubles. And year by year, the Amma and her daughter treated Pear Blossom like dirt. They dressed her up in rags, and the Amma tied Pear Blossom's beautiful black hair with a piece of rope. By that time, they called Pear Blossom Little Pig or Pigling only. "Hey," Peony called out to Pear Blossom. "Yes?" Pear Blossom asked, hurrying over to Peony. "Little Pig has a pigtail," she said, laughing and pointing at poor Pear Blossom. Pear Blossom ran away and wept, sad that she had come to this. Even though the old Umma and Peony made fun of Pear Blossom, there was no denying the fact that she was beautiful. Since Pear Blossom was so beautiful, the Umma would lay awake at night, trying to figure out a way to get rid of Pear Blossom. The next morning, the Umma pointed at the jar by the door. "That jar needs filling. It leaks, Umma. It has a hole the size of an apple." "Bratty little pigs get sold in the market," the Umma warned her stepdaughter as she and Peony left the house. "Fill that jar before we get back." Pear Blossom leaned against the courtyard wall. "Who in this world will help me?" she asked, despairing. "Jug, jug, jugful," a croaky voice said. "A goblin," Pear Blossom said, scared. "What if a goblin was inside the jar?" When Pear Blossom peeked inside the jar, she found a little green frog. "Jugful," the frog said, squeezing itself into the hole like a stopper. "If you want to," Pear Blossom said, for even if it wasn't a goblin, it would probably be best to do its bidding. She hurried to the well and poured water out of the bucket into the jar. Not a single drop leaked out, and Pear Blossom was quick to fill the rest of the jar. Not long after she had completed her task, Pear Blossom was waiting for her stepmother when Peony walked in. "So, did you fail?" she asked. "No, Peony, I did not. Look inside the jar," and Peony did. "Umma!" she shouted. "What, Peony? Did the little pig fail her task? Then she's off to the market." "No, Umma, it is full," Pear Blossom said, showing her the jar full of water. "How could this be? You cheated, you little—" "A frog helped me, Umma. I didn't cheat." "Magic frog?" "Psh, no such thing." But when the Umma herself looked inside the jar, she saw water. When Peony looked again, because she was curious, the water flooded out and soaked Peony head to toe. "Piglings to blame," she screamed, drenched. "Well, one day little pig will get what she deserves," and the cruel Umma made Pear Blossom get down on her hands and knees, licking the water. The next morning, the cruel stepmother opened up a huge bag of rice and scattered it on the floor of the courtyard. "Hold this rice, you little pig, or you will be sent in this bag to China," and she and Peony left for the village. "Oh, what am I to do now?" Pear Blossom sighed, sitting down on the steps of the courtyard. "Will anyone help me?" There was a whirring above her head in the pear tree, and Pear Blossom saw, to her amazement, a ton of sparrows. "Cheer! Cheer! Cheer!" they said, pecking the rice and separating the husk from kernel. After a few minutes, there was a towering pile of gleaming white rice right in the center of the courtyard. When the Umma came back, she saw Pear Blossom leaning against a tree. "It's off to China with you," she said, but then saw the gleaming pile of rice. "How?" "Some sparrows helped me, Umma, and they hold the rice."
"Sparrows don't help whole rice, they eat it," scoffed the stepmother.
Then she whispered to Peony, "It's magic that's flying about. Catch it." And she shoved Peony towards the pear tree. A bunch of sparrows came out and started pulling her hair.
"Cheat! Cheat! Cheat!" they said, pulling and twisting.
"It's Pigling's fault," Peony howled.
"Don't worry, darling. She will get what she deserves one day." And the Umma didn't let Pear Blossom eat anything for the day. Not that day or the next. Not even a kernel of rice. Soon, the village was holding a festival, and so Pear Blossom was busy making dresses for her step family. She sewed a beautiful pink silk dress for Peony and cooked food for the event.
"Dirty, yucky, stinky little pig will stay at home," jeered Peony.
"No, little piglet may go," the Umma said in a voice as sweet as sugar. "After she reads the rice patties," she handed Pear Blossom a basket of old turnip tops.
"And here is her picnic."
"Thank you, kind stepmother," Pear Blossom said, and then hurried off to the rice paddies. When she saw how much and how large the field was, Pear Blossom despaired. "How am I to do all the rice paddies before the festival?" she cried out. A huge whirlwind of wind descended towards the rice paddies, and a large black ox came out from the dust.
"Doo!" it bellowed, munching the weeds.
Every step made it come closer to Pear Blossom. and even though she hid her face with her hands, she could feel the beast's warm breath on her neck. When Pear Blossom dared to look, she saw no ox or weeds. Not a single piece of rice was trampled, and hoof prints the size of cartwheels covered the field. When Pear Blossom looked into her basket of food, she didn't see rotting turnip heads, but fruit and honey candy. "Many thanks," she shouted out. She made her way towards the village on a road filled with pebbles and small rocks. Pear Blossom had just slipped her slipper off when she heard a shout. "Make way! Make way for the magistrate!" And Pear Blossom hurried out of the way. Blushing, Pear Blossom hopped on one foot out of the way and hid behind a tree that stood on the banks of a small stream. As she did, her sandal came out of her hand and fell into the water, bobbing like a small boat. "Stop," commanded the magistrate, who was a handsome young man. Pear Blossom thought he was shouting at her, when he was really shouting at his servants, and she ran away, leaving her sandal. The young magistrate, struck by her beauty, ordered the sandal to be retrieved, and he headed towards the village. At the village, Pear Blossom forgot about her missing shoe and enjoyed herself at the festival. She watched the acrobats and tightrope walkers and listened to flutes and drums. She nibbled at a basket of treats until it was almost empty. She was just peeling her last piece of fruit when Peony spotted her. "What are you doing here?" she asked. "I did what I was supposed to do." "How so?" the Yuma asked, appearing at Pear Blossom's side. "A black ox came and ate all the weeds, and he gave me this fruit." "Impossible!" exclaimed the Yuma. "Oxen are brown, not white, black, and food just doesn't appear." Suddenly, the trio heard shouts. "Make way! Make way for the magistrate!" The group paused their conversation and stared at the magistrate. "Whoever doesn't have the shoe, please come up here."
"That's Pigling! She's right here!" Peony shouted.
"You're getting arrested by stealing from the magistrate now, little pig. This is exactly what you deserve," the cruel Umma said. "Then she must deserve me as her husband," the magistrate said, overhearing them, "because this lucky shoe has led me to her."
"Another one of Pigling's tricks! My daughter will give you two shoes! That's twice as lucky!"
The magistrate looked at the old Umma as if she was crazy. Then he turned to Pear Blossom. "I would be so lucky if you agreed to be my wife," he said, bowing low and kissing her hand. "If the shoe fits, would you agree?" Pear Blossom, struck by a sudden shyness, just slipped her foot into her lost sandal. And so, the magistrate asked Pear Blossom's old father if she could be his wife, and he agreed. Pear Blossom's wedding slippers were made out of white silk, and in the courtyard of her new, beautiful house, a dozen pear trees bloomed.
"Ew-ha! Ew-ha!"
chirped the sparrows in the branches.
"Ew-ha!"
croaked the frog. I might not be saying that right. And the animals were all saying that because "ilha" means pear blossom in Korean. That's how it ends. In the book I read to get information from, there was an author's note. In it, it said that in Korea, there are about a half a dozen versions and many more around the world. Even though her name is not usually Pear Blossom, the heroine is always a beautiful, dutiful young lady who gets enslaved by her cruel stepmother. Sometimes, she gets rescued by a handsome young man, but in one version, she dies and climbs a rope to heaven. I adapted the story to my personal taste, though the book I used for the information was called The Korean Cinderella by Shirley Climo. The book is a very good picture book, and I think you should definitely check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes. The character I wanted to focus on for this story was the father. He pretty much starts in the story and then conveniently just disappears so that the Umma and Peony can treat Pear Blossom like crap. Then, when the magistrate asks for Pear Blossom's hand in marriage, he just shows up and says yes. I think that the Appa failed in Parenting 101, but I'll leave that up to you. Now for the deer and the woodcutter. Also, for this story, I'm going to tell two different endings. One is a very happy ending with everyone satisfied, and one is a sad ending with the woodcutter being very distraught. Both versions are from the same story, just with different endings. Once, there was a poor, simple woodcutter who lived at the foot of the Kumgang Mountains. He lived in his house with his mother and had not yet married. One day, he was out in the mountains cutting wood when a deer came running towards him. "Help me, please, a hunter is chasing me." He was panting and quite out of breath. The woodcutter felt rather bad for the deer and decided he would save him. He hid him under a pile of sticks. Soon the hunter came by. "Say, have you seen a deer come up here?" "Yes, good sir," the woodcutter replied, but he went on going that way. He pointed somewhere. I don't know where. Don't ask me. By the time the hunter had gone away and the deer had come out from the pile of the sticks, the poor old woodcutter was shaking with fear. "Don't worry, young man. Thank you for saving my life. I will never forget your kindness." And the deer ran away in the opposite direction from where the hunter was going. Some days later, the woodcutter was in the forest, chopping wood, when the deer came up to him. "Say, aren't you the woodcutter that saved my life 3 days ago?" "Why, yes, I am that woodcutter," the woodcutter replied. "What is it with people not having names?" "Well, I've decided to repay you for your kindness. Would you like a beautiful wife?" The woodcutter blushed. "Yes, but who would want to marry a poor woodcutter like me?" he asked. "Don't say that. That isn't nice. Anyway, here's my plan," and he whispered into the woodcutter's ear. "If you go that way, across the mountain, towards the large pond, you'll be where beautiful fairies from heaven bathe. When they do, take off their robe feathers. Those feather robes let them fly back to heaven. When you see a robe, take one of them and hide it carefully. When the rest of the fairies try to leave, that one won't be able to. Take her home with you to be your wife. Just don't show her the feather robe, or she will take it and fly back to heaven.
"Okay," the woodcutter said, processing all the information.
"Okay, and one more thing," the deer said, clearly not done. "You must not ever show her the robe unless she has borne you 4 children. Then, and only then, you can show her the robe if she wants to see it."
"All right," the woodcutter said, starting to head towards the mountains.
He walked right across and towards a large pond. When he did, he saw the beautiful fairies of heaven bathing. Taking care to stay hidden and to shield his eyes, he headed towards the shining robes that hung on a nearby tree branch. He grabbed one and then ran back into a secluded area where he wouldn't be so spotted. Soon, the fairies were done bathing. One of the fairies couldn't find her robe.
"I lost my robe," the fairy said, frantically searching.
The other fairies tried to find it, but to no avail. The woodcutter was probably snickering his head off and trying not to laugh. Or maybe he wasn't. I mean, he was only there to get a wife. Soon, the other fairies had to leave. "The gates to heaven are closing," they said. "There's no more we can do for you right now. But when we get to heaven, we will talk with the others and see if we can figure something out." Soon, the other fairies abandoned the robeless fairy and flew to heaven. When the woodcutter saw that, he marched up to the poor fairy timidly. "Are you all right, madam?" he asked nervously. He had stuffed the feathered robe into his bag of sticks.
"I lost my robe to heaven," the poor fairy wailed.
"Well then, why don't you come home and be my wife?" the poor woodcutter said, motioning to her with his walking stick. "I will be a good husband to you, and you can help take care of my mother with me." With no other options, the fairy agreed and followed the woodcutter home.
A baby cried. This was the woodcutter's 3rd child, and he was very happy. Both he and the fairy were very happy together and never talked about the robe. The fairy, happily playing with her children, seemed to have forgotten about heaven, and she faithfully cared for the woodcutter's mother and was a great mother herself. But the woodcutter never brought the robe out for fear that his wife would abandon him. He also remembered the deer's warning to not show her the robe until she had given birth to 4 children. One day, the woodcutter was sipping the tea that his beautiful wife had made him. "I never knew that living on earth would be so pleasant," the fairy remarked casually, "and I've never thought of going back, but I've often wondered where my robe has gotten to.
Could it be that you had taken it?
The woodcutter, an honest man at heart, told her, yes, he had taken her robe.
Oh, that's what I thought, the fairy said, smiling. Anyway, I was wondering if I could take a look at it. It's been such a long time.
The woodcutter, who was now pretty drunk, I mean the food and drink had gotten to his head, completely forgot about the deer's warning and showed the fairy her robe of feathers. His wife took it into her hands and stared at it. It was so still beautiful, and a bit of an old song came to her lips. The fairy suddenly felt very homesick, as snatches of memories from heaven returned to her. So, she placed the robe onto her shoulders and grabbed one of her children with one hand and the other two with her other hand. Farewell, my husband. I must go back to heaven, I guess. And she flew towards heaven, leaving the poor woodcutter sadly standing by himself. The woodcutter had lost the will to live. He was very much regretting his mistake of showing his wife the robe, but now all he did was stare into the sky, thinking of his wife and children. One day, the deer whose life the woodcutter had saved came by. He already knew that the woodcutter's children and wife had gone to heaven. You see, if you had waited until she had four children, she wouldn't be able to go back because she is a mother and therefore just couldn't leave her children, explained the deer. The woodcutter sighed sadly. There's still a way for you to get into heaven. Ever since you stole your wife's robe at the pond, the fairies have decided to take the water up in a bucket and wash themselves in heaven instead of coming down to earth. When the bucket drops into the pond, quickly empty it out and then climb in yourself. Then you will be in heaven. The woodcutter, rejuvenated by the deer's words, thanked him and then went on his way back to the pond where it all began. The woodcutter was astounded. Here he was, in heaven, and not dead. A live human. He spotted his wife. There she was, a fairy again, holding his three children by the hands.
Appa! They shouted.
The woodcutter was overjoyed to see his family, and happily smiled and laughed with his children and kissed his wife. He was, once again, happy that he had listened to the deer's words.
Okay, so that's one ending. That's the happy ending. Next, I'll tell the sad ending. But that will be right after this. World Mythology is supported by Yan.io, the world's first cryptocurrency social exchange. Sign up for Yan.io today. That's yen.io.
Still, one thing troubled the old woodcutter.
Seriously? Every time, something bothers this old man. And it was the fact that he had left his mother down on earth.
Oh, if I could just see her one more time, he would mourn slash complain, staring down at the green earth.
Okay, fine. You can go. If you want to see your mother, I'll bring you a heavenly horse, the fairy said.
One thing though, if you step off this horse, you will be stuck down on earth forever and will not be able to come back to heaven. The woodcutter was overjoyed to learn that he could visit his mother one more time, so he took the heavenly horse down to his birthplace and landed in front of his old house. The old mother was very lonely, and when she saw her son come riding down on a horse, she was very happy to see someone she knew.
Mother, the woodcutter said, I am pleased to see you as well. But if I get off this horse, I will not be able to go back to heaven, so I must say goodbye as I am, on this horse.
The old woman pouted.
Fine. If you cannot get off, at least have some of your favorite pumpkin soup. I remember that you used to love it. Wait here, I will go get it. And the mother hurried inside and brought out a steaming bowl of pumpkin soup. The woodcutter thanked his mother and took the bowl with his hands. But
It was so hot that the woodcutter dropped the bowl and soup splashed on the horse, causing the poor steed to rear back in pain, drop the woodcutter, and then fly back to heaven. And then, once again, the woodcutter was stuck on earth, but this time without a way to get back to heaven, no matter how much he grieved or cried. Day after day, the woodcutter went outside and called to his wife and children, but nobody could help, not even the deer. Day after day, week after week, year after year, the woodcutter called out to his family. He yearned to see them. He yearned to go to heaven, but it was not to be. And so, many years, he started transforming into a rooster. And that is why, to this day, when a child sees a rooster crying out to the heavens, he knows it's the woodcutter crying out for his children and wife. And that's how it ends for the woodcutter, both ways. One version is of him being a happy old man who dies with his family in heaven. The other version is him going to visit his mother after being in heaven for so long, and then he gets a bowl of too hot pumpkin soup, which he spills. So then, he has to become a rooster. I adapted the story from the book The Deer and the Woodcutter, a story by Kim Song-un. The other ending I added from the book A Woodcutter and a Fairy by Kingsley C. Sir, even though most of the story was based off The Deer and the Woodcutter. Both stories are interesting, and you can find them in the show notes. The character I wanted to focus on for this story was the wife. The wife just happened to be a fairy, but just abandoned her husband for heaven. I think that's hardcore, and pretty sad. I mean, I don't know whether or not I would leave for heaven. Maybe I would make a compromise of going to heaven and bringing my family as well. That's all for this week of World Mythology. This week's episode was produced, written, and edited by Rowan Saddington. The theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and you can find other great music in the show notes. The books I mentioned in the show are in the show notes as well. Don't forget to sign up for yen.io! Bye!